never held their shape. Pow! Instant disruption. It would have made for a most effective weapon if we could have taken the time to channel the stream somehow and direct it. But I digress.
Taking his eyes from the monitor screen and back to the control room, Jamais-Vu typed in commands one-handed, pausing either to check what the screen revealed or to push the compact mouse control located next to the comp keyboard. Despite his unease of where Doc might be lurking, and over whether Ryan and his band of thugs would come busting down the door with blasters blazing, the gray-haired man smiled at the readouts the comp was presenting to him in a rush of numerals and codes.
Takeoffs and landings. There are no Matrans chambers in the past, and we can only guess if they exist in the future. And believe you me, those of us who knew what was coming down early in the year 2001 weren't counting on the future's hospitality. So more tests were needed, but we ran out of time, thanks to you. If you'd agreed to go back like a good little boy, and if we could have delivered you safely, all of this might have been moot, and you'd be considered one of the architects of a brave new world.
Jamais-Vu touched a key on the panel of the comp, and nodded as the screen flickered and changed.
At least in a perfect world. Only if.
The stone walls of the room remained silent, but he continued to speak, even as he dropped his guard, stepping closer to the comp.
I imagine you're not feeling so hot, Tanner. That's to be understood. I honestly did doubt you'd make it back alive, although I hope there was something about your stubbornness that carried you through safely from past to present to future. Now I know. Even if you did make it, you'd arrive here in pieces. But from what this screen is saying to me, my adjustments to the quantum phase interface and time troll bubble matrix were a success. I appreciate your willingness to lend a hand, so let's deal. You stay tucked away in your shell until I'm out of here, and I won't blow your brains all over the room. Then you can enjoy this brave new world as much as you like.
As a response, Jamais-Vu felt a white-hot needle pierce deeply into his upper thigh. He staggered back in time to see the tip of Doc's sword stick pull free from his flesh. The blade had been thrust outward from beneath the desk where the comp system rested, beneath the desk in the alcove where Doc had been hiding. Doc had been forced to crawl into the nook, knowing Jamais-Vu would undoubtedly want to check any temporal readings from his journey, and while there, he'd listened and waited. Doc had struck blind, aiming his jab by the sound of his foe's voice, but the angle was awkward, and the old man wasn't up to delivering any kind of real force behind the assault. He'd hoped to land his rapier into the soft gut of the long-winded Lord of El Moro, but the blow landed low. Still, the blade sunk deep, and the sharp bite was ample to send Jamais-Vu spiraling backward, the blaster sailing away from his outstretched hand as he fell against an empty swivel chair and completely lost his footing, flipping over the piece of wheeled furniture and crashing to the heavy stone floor, his lab coat tangled around his body.
I have read Huxley's book, Jamais-Vu, and found it lacking. And you, sir, are entirely too much in love with the sound of your own voice.
Doc hunched his way out of hiding, crawling stiffly from his lair like some crazed angular spider. The lower half of his face was a smear of vermilion, where the final cron jump had caused something in his septum to burst in protest, and when combined with his high forehead, his long silver-white hair coiling about his shoulders, and the glistening white of his perfect teeth shining like pearls within the red smear coating his lower face, he looked utterly, irreversibly mad. Jamais-Vu had been shocked into a frightened silence, and he scrambled to his footing as quickly as possible, logic replaced by blind terror. His body struggled to control the flight response. An expression of complete and total hate transformed Doc Tanner's bloody visage as he wrapped spindly fingers around one of Jamais-Vu's feet and pulled the stunned overlord of Kronos closer.
You were there.
Suddenly, Doc's mind became clear, and Jamais-Vu's face shimmered into stark clarity and focus. But only in a memory, in a view Doc had snatched as he was hurled into the gateway by Wells and his security team, a glimpse of a solitary figure standing slightly back and watching the struggle to shoot the most unwilling subject into the future. Doc strained, trying to bring his foe down through fading brute strength.
You were there, lurking in the shadows, observing when I was trolled from that pit of filth. Another 100 years of my life stolen away in a single heartbeat. You were there, snickering when I was sent screaming into this future hellhole of a world, taken from the arms of my wife, my children. You were there, you arrogant son of a bitch! You were there!
Jamevu gasped air in response, finally finding his voice as he stomped down with his injured leg, trying to free himself from Doc's iron grip.
Of course I was there, you quote-spouting hayseed! If I were not, how could I know anything of how Operation Kronos was designed? Sure, I read the manual, but hell's bells, man! I could never hope to master it without some prior knowledge!
Doc continued to hang on, being dragged across the floor as Jamevu moved closer to the dormant Mattrans chamber.
If you knew so much, why did you need me?
Even with what I knew then, and combined with what I know now, it's not enough! Not near enough, damn your eyes! We never fully understood how the matter conversion array could be realigned for temporal transport! It was a working theory, goddammit! A fluke! And so were you!
I do not accept such simple explanations, then or now!
Perhaps if you had been less inclined to sabotage and violence, and instead focused on doing as you were asked, you would have been returned to your wife and family. Instead, you made dealing with you a most unpleasant experience, and finally, tragically, they decided to cut their losses and get rid of you in a manner that best suited their immediate needs. They've been peeping into the future, and a few, a select few, saw what was coming.
Armageddon, you mean?
Yes. I suspected, but never really knew for sure. Word had gone out among the Power Elite, and the Puppet Masters can rarely keep a silent tongue in their empty heads. You were supposed to be crawled backward in an attempt to alter the future timeline. Too bad you are too damn arrogant to stick to the bargain!
Doc felt his heart ache with agony. Every word out of Jamevu's mouth was a reminder of what he had lost. No, not lost. What had been taken from him, boldly snatched away, even as he had been snatched like a flailing ragdoll and tossed into the unforgiving winds of a cyclone.
You are the reason for your eventual downfall, Tanner, not I!
And then, Tanner's remorse and grief were transformed into a new mass of emotions, and the driving one pulsing through his brain and heart was hate. He pulled on the captured foot harder, twisting it into a painful position. Jamevu swayed on his feet, stomping down again and again on Doc's forearm and wrist to release the insanely tight grip the man had on his ankle. Freeing himself, the self-appointed Lord of El Moro Fortress stumbled toward the Mattrans chamber, ready to flee and abdicate his domain. He looked around, his eyes narrowed to slits as he tried to find the lost blaster, but he didn't see it. What he did see was Dr. Tanner determinedly crawling toward him.
You just don't get it, do you? You never did!
And then he lashed out at the crawling figure, using his good leg as support to raise his other, bleeding leg in a kick, and driving home the point of his polished dress shoe right into Doc's chin, snapping the man's head up and back, before slamming down painfully face first to the hard floor.
Sorry to chat and run, but I really must make this important date. For I'm late, for a very important date. I'm late!
Nearly unconscious, Doc still managed to drag himself up to watch as Jamevu entered the Mattrans chamber and pulled closed the armaglass door. Now, even as the cycle began, and the burst of light erupted within the room, and the peals of fog came slithering out from the shimmering metal discs that broke down the molecules of whatever, whoever was inside, Tanner made it up to his side, using one arm to prop himself in a secure position, while his other hand splayed awkwardly on the desktop next to him. His fingers felt around, searching until they came across the plastic surface of the keyboard. Doc pulled it toward himself, twisting his hand in the mire of cables behind the monitor linking the comp, pulled it hard, using what was left of his fading strength along with his body weight. Then, with a final Herculean effort, Doc yanked down, bringing the CPU and monitor onto the hard floor, impacting at precisely the same moment that the long figure standing inside the Mattrans unit ceased to exist. At least at this particular location, at this particular time.
Shit.
What did you say?
The Armorer was almost always a study of grace under pressure. For him to allow himself the luxury of a curse meant he'd hit an unexpected block.
Shit. This will take a moment.
JB fished through his jacket pockets for the needed implement.
This is a maglock. Not the hardest kind to navigate past, but they can be triple damn annoying minus the proper tool. I need an electric wand to reverse the polarity. Once that's taken care of, we'll be on him in no time.
You got one of those wands?
Please.
Sorry. No time indeed. No time is what I fear the most, John. I never should have allowed Doc to participate in Jamevu's mad experiments.
I imagine you didn't have much of a choice. Doc's his own man, always has been. He'd be willing to try anything to get back to his wife and kids.
JB twisted the end of the cylinder-shaped handle of the wand he was manipulating.